Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. Today we are talking about Sky Sports Fantasy Football. There is £50,000 up for grabs for the winner, and we've just got one game week to go. And if this can be get out before Tuesday night, we have a couple more days to go of game week 36. Conveniently, Sky are calling the final game week 38 fixture game week 37. So the penultimate fixture is not 37, it's 36. Thank you, Sky. My name is Joe, and joining me ahead of game week 37's final set of fixtures for the year is Luke. Luke, how are you?
I'm not bad, Joe. We're almost there, aren't we? We've almost got there. And we get an Alisson goalkeeper goal just to tie off the end of the season, which has been a crazy season, and no more crazy than a goalkeeper scoring a goal. So, yeah, loving it.
But, I mean, that just points. Now, goalkeeper getting a goal is like 7 points in Sky.
I think so, yeah. Same as defender, yeah.
It's something like six in FPL.
Mm.
Tim Howard was the last one with a gust of wind. Brad Fiedel, I think, got one.
Yeah.
That bloke from Carlisle, what's his name? Glass? Something Glass.
Did Paul Robinson get one once?
Paul Robinson got one. What do you mean? This is over 20 years. I've just reeled off five, and that's it. Across all leagues. You know, you've got to give them it's got to be like 15.
It should do. I mean, they actually changed them out of the match. It was, I think they gave it to Cody, believe it or not, during the game, but then they changed it to, did Liverpool Wolves play?
It was Thiago, wasn't it?
Thiago, that was it. Sorry, yeah, Thiago. And then they changed it, I think, for good reason. There's obviously Alisson scoring, which they should have done. I'm not going to argue about that one. Yeah. I suppose the only thing I'll say on that is, right, just imagine they did give 10, 15 points for a goal and then Edison did start taking penalties. Suddenly he breaks the game, right? If he gets 6 or 7 penalties.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, and he hasn't taken a penalty, so maybe. But just imagine you did that at the beginning of the season.
Because they've given Alisson man of the match. He was man of the last minute, but was he man of the match?
They do get wrapped up in these occasions.
But they have to bump it up. So I would say 10 points. Let's go 10 points.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Because there isn't going to be another one for like 5 years.
No.
So, you know, you all need a gust of wind or Alisson. Alisson, he was sneaky when he went up as well. He was like, it was like that Alexander-Arnold corner, which is like, I'm not going to take this. Whey, I am taking it. And the Alisson was like, I'm just going to saunter up like all goalkeepers do in the final minute. But I'm actually going to be amazing as I do it for that final 2 seconds. Amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's look at some of the latest Tier 2 Man of the Match stars. Guess what? Alisson. There you go. You've already said it. Alisson, Man of the Match, obviously. Ramsdale, the lesser Alisson.
Every week we mention Ramsdale's name in this list. Now, for a Man of the Match or saves, it's ridiculous because he was the worst keeper in the game for the first
every
like,
week I ignore him. It's going to... not necessarily Ramsdale, but it's going to be an answer to one of the questions a bit later for me about, you know, things, mistakes you've made or what to do.
I know what you're doing.
And one of my key mistakes in FPL, and which I've been talking about, is ignoring unfashionable players. Trying to work out that bias, and why aren't I going for that player? Why am I dismissing them? And so, for example, that's flagged up Chris Wood in FPL, is flagged up Joe Linton, Danny Welbeck. You know, the list goes on. Ferran Torres in Sky in FPL, that's flagged up. I've barely gone for any of those players. I'm still doing it, still adjusting. So that's why I'm going to do a lot next season. So Ramsdale, yeah, why have I ignored Ramsdale? Should have got him in. Cody, Mitchell. I don't think you can quite predict Mitchell's haul, but nevertheless. Harrison, another player I've ignored. Why not double up on Rafinha and Harrison for the final couple of games? Torres, Ferran Torres. My final transfer. Why did I get Raheem Sterling in? And why did I ignore Torres?
I don't know why he did that, I'll be honest, because Cancelo or Ferran Torres, I know it's easy to say now, but yeah. I think they were the two standout for that week. I will never trust Sterling again, ever. Well, he's never a consideration.
I'm where I am, and I just thought I'll just go for him. And the way it is. But yeah, just didn't work out. Yeah, if he comes about with a hat-trick next game week, then all forgive
enough,
him. Welbeck and Che Adams. Why are we ignoring Che Adams? Another example there. A passing tier two. But I basically just put City defenders, Everton centre-backs and Højbjerg, the ones of interest. Tackles tier two. Allen back doing Allen things. And Thiago cruelly robbed a man of the match at the last minute by that Alisson. Can't believe it. saves tier two. Martinez again. I do have him at least. Patricio and Ramsdale. So big haul for Ramsdale. Shots tier two, Torres, Cavallo and Kane and Salah. So, you know, sort of as you were, particularly with Kane and Salah. So yeah, let's have a look at your team. So you couldn't make any transfers. Your team: Martinez, Aspilicueta, Sionchu, Diaz, Saka, Fernandez, Bowen, Rafinha, Kane, Calvert-Lewin and Salah. So where are you at the moment? Because you can only do captaincy changes. And, you know, who were your captains in the previous game week? And, yeah.
I can't even remember. Let me think. Newcastle versus Man City. I had Diaz as captain because, obviously, I had no transfers left and he didn't play. So that was a stunning 0 points there. However, in my B team, I did bring in Cancelo and captain him. So he did okay. I say it was always going to be him or Torres. I just couldn't. I don't think I could actually get to Torres in that team particularly easily. So I went Cancelo. But anyway, we don't talk about B team, so I shall move on. Who else did okay for me, captain-wise? So yeah, Saturday, which Leeds played Burnley. Obviously, they won 4-0. I had Rafinha as my captain then. So he got an assist.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, you'd hope for a little bit more in a 4-0, wouldn't you? So a bit annoying, but still got some points at least. Had Bowen for the Brighton game. He actually started but didn't do anything. And then on the Sunday, I went with Salah captain. I think Kane and Salah were much of a muchness, to be honest with you. So that was fine. I was tempted by Calvert-Lewin, and luckily I didn't do that because Everton were dreadful. But yeah, apart from that, it was just a pretty nothing week for me, really. I ended up with about 50 points, something like that. Let me just check now. Yeah, 50 points, which is pretty poor, but it's been the tail of my season towards the end, really. Just been dropping off. So nothing much more I can do, no more transfers. So just going to have to try and get lucky with the armband in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so I'll put my team up and then we'll come to those crucial armband decisions that are remaining. So we'll chat a tiny bit about what we've got remaining in this game week, but also crucially for that final day, who we're gonna captain. So here's my team. You can see some foolishness here with Sterling. So I've got Martinez, Rob Holding, Wan-Bissaka, Alexander-Arnold, Lingard, Mason Mount, Bruno Fernandes, Rafinha, Chris Wood, Salah and Sterling. So it's a bit different. It's a bit different to a lot of other teams. Some ways good and some ways bad. I have no transfers left now, which I went for Raheem Sterling captaincy on that Newcastle-Manchester City game. On hindsight, I shouldn't have done that. obviously, I should have got Torres in and captured him and suddenly won Sky. But I'm not. I didn't do that.
52 points if you captain Torres.
I got 4 points there from Sterling.
Yeah, but do you remember we were saying this is the week? We were saying the Newcastle-Man City game. When you look at the lineup, if you can pick the right captain, and we thought maybe Aguero. I thought maybe Aguero, and then obviously it turns out he's injured. I mean, that's season changing, isn't it? Right at the end there. If you've got that transfer to do that move, 52 points. I mean, that is literally just, you know, all those little intricate moves and stuff. They can't get you that sort of, well, that's the power of the armband on a particular week. And obviously they have to fire as well.
Well, Cancelo was in the running and I would have got him and got a, you know.
He's 28 points as captain, yeah.
And I would have got 28 points there. But I actually wanted more, you know, and I just looked at Sterling and I just thought, well, he's playing for his place in that final. Surely.
There's no chance he's getting it.
No. Surely he's got to do something. He's got to pull it out of the bag.
Nah, and I just even if he scored a hat-trick, I don't think he'd be in there. He's just been woeful all season, to be honest.
I went for him. And that was the final one. But on reflection, a Man City player. But I was actually Dubravka I was thinking of. I didn't like the City game for him, but I really like the next two. Mm-hmm. St Maximum and Willock were also in consideration. But I just had to. I had to get a City one, and so. But it's not gonna me getting Sterling in and not. Torres was not in my thoughts. Just not in my thoughts to get. It would have been Cancelo or Sterling. So I would have gone up an extra 24 points. Place wise, I probably would have still been somewhere around 300. I'm between 300 and 400 in the rankings at the moment. Mm. That would have taken me above what. 250, 300 maybe.
Yeah.
But not 100, not top 10, not anything, you know, you can tell your grandkids about.
No. But it's just, I just wanted to highlight that the fact that sometimes we make transfers where, you know, we swap player A for player B, even though player A is still playing and he's not injured. And to make up, say, 52 points, sometimes, like, the difference between the two players, first of all, you have to get that right. And let's say you get it right, and they are outscoring them most weeks by a couple of points, it's still going to take you several weeks, like 7, 8, 9 weeks for the 52 points, even more sometimes. And yeah, I appreciate you can do this one captain move and they fail. So a Sterling, like you just did then, and it's like, oh, God's sake, I should have done the other move. But occasionally you'll hit them. And, you know, when there's games that are signposted, I mean, I know Newcastle did pretty well in this game, but Man City versus Newcastle, you expect them to score 3 or 4 goals, right? So if you... There are a few occasions this season when this sort of thing happens. And obviously, if you've got the transfers, you know, making the move, you can get really lucky. And 52 points, especially if you're anywhere near the top 100, that jump is just, you know, that wins you money, essentially. That
if I was, you know, if I was like 130 in the rankings or something, I probably would have been a bit more careful. I probably would have gone for more of a defender, I think, like Cancelo.
And Cancelo was probably the safest play because... You know, against Newcastle, you expect him to get passes, tackles, maybe get an attacking return, probably get a clean sheet. The clean sheet didn't work out, but he ended up getting... Did he get two assists? He got a goal and an assist, didn't he? And then obviously some bonus as well. So, and the thing with him is he's more probably quite likely to play the rest of the games, whereas with Fernan Torres, you're never quite sure he'll play the other games. So,
I mean, for me this season, it's been quite weird with the A and the B team. I won't mention the third team, but the A and the B team. Because the A team's one I've been focusing on, and I've sort of neglected the B team. I've just been doing like whatever. I've been going back to that idea of thinking of like unfashionable players and getting them in or making those you know slightly more differential moves. And then it was pointed out to me on Friday by Dan Cox, who's won Sky, that I was 16th in the monthly prize, and I was about 30 points off first. For the month, I had no idea. So I suddenly just went a bit mad and just got loads of players in for that City game, including Cancelo, who I think I captained. I can't quite remember what I did, but I ended up with 72 points, which was far more than I got in my A team. And over the weeks, for example, I've had St Maximum in already. I already had him in. Kane, Chris Wood, I've had for a few weeks in that as well. Salah, I got back in. Actually got Salah back in. I've had Havertz in that, got him out for this round of fixtures. Still with Rafinha, Keane at Everton, as I said.
And if you'd gone Torres captain, you might have won.
If I'd have gone Torres captain in this, I might have won it. So, you know, it is what it is, but I feel quite, you know, pleased to be in this position. Out of all of that, out of those flurry of moves, I actually have run out of moves. I've got one left, but I can't use it this week. I've used all five. Yeah. I've never used five in a week.
No, so this is a good tactic. So we mentioned start what's your use for your B team, and this is one of them, is to set up your team for a month in the future. So you've got to be, I mean, this season it would have been hard because fixtures are changing around all over the gaff, but generally you can set up your team for the very first games of the week to have like a perfect team, like just look at the three or four fixtures that have and pick the perfect team, and then also within it plan some transfers, and then obviously you can only use five a week, so generally you could use 15 or 20 depending on the month, and then you can just smash it and go for the monthly prize. And it's quite a good tactic, especially obviously the longer you leave it, you generally the better because the player base has dropped off, but then obviously some of the good players have got that idea as well. So yeah, just judging a week and going for it. It's a perfectly valid reason because if you can win the monthly, I mean, I'm not sure. I think monthly prizes are a console, maybe. I think there might be PlayStation or an Xbox or something.
It's a PlayStation 5 for me and my kids. That's what it is.
Right. Okay. There you go. So, I mean, that's not to be sniffed at, is it? So, it's a perfectly valid reason. I mean, I wasted my B team this season. I basically picked pretty much the same as my A team, occasionally changed the captain. And I think after when we got to overhaul, all I had, in fact, I had the exact same team, but all I did was pick my second favorite captain on the B team, and it was 250 points behind the first team. That was on captains alone with the exact same team. So that shows you how important captains can be. But as a result of that, I just didn't bother with it. I haven't even looked at it for months, not even really changing. I mean, I did the Cancelo thing the other day, but yeah, it's pretty much a waste. So there's a number of ways to look at it, but going for the monthly is certainly a valid one.
So two things there. I completely forgot about monthly prizes. I've just never thought about it, and I never knew. I completely forgot that you can't use more than five transfers within a week, within a game week. So I've learned something there, and yeah, I'm going to do exactly that. My B team, I'm not going to do copy it, or I'm not going to. I mean, I just sort of put whoever in. I didn't pay any attention to it, but I think I will this time. And I think towards the end of the season, I might target these monthly prizes and use some of that knowledge that I do for the other content for FPL as well. So to go for players that perhaps Sky players might not go for. So for example, Mason Mount is one I got in, and he's done really well for me in my both my A and my B team. Keane for Everton, a player I completely ignored, and St Maximin as well. I thought Newcastle's final couple of fixtures would be good, so hopefully they'll get something. But either I'm 20th, I'm a bit further off first, but got one transfer left, unlikely. But at least I've suddenly got something in this crazy season to look at of interest. The third team that we're now given in Sky, I've just sort of wasted that a bit. But at one point I was 30th in this monthly prize, and I didn't even know about that either.
I didn't even use mine. I just didn't have the headspace for it. But again, it's a good thing to do. I mean, it's one of the, if you've got the time, there's literally no reason. It's a free shot of money, isn't it? So it really should be
I'm
using
just
it.
going to go for that as well. And I didn't realize sort of mentally as well, the third team is really good. So if you do use all your transfers, or you're just not where you're going to be, and it's just your personal targets of I want to be in the top 100 or top 1,000 or whatever, if it's not achievable, that third team, go for these monthly prizes. I think it's like a game within a game. I hadn't really occurred to me before, but yeah, learned something new. So let's move on to game week 37. Let's have a look here. Actually, before we look at game week 37, we to timestamp this, we're recording it Tuesday midday, so we've got some more matches to go in game week 36. So tonight, Tuesday, we've got Manchester United against Fulham, Southampton against Leeds, Brighton against City, Chelsea against Leicester, Everton. Chelsea against Leicester stops there. So I'm just going to captain Fernandes and be done with it because he's at home against Fulham. I presume that's for you as well.
100%.
We do have a question about what to do with Fernandes, but we'll address that shortly. Wednesday, 19th of May, Everton against Wolves, Newcastle against Sheffield United, Tottenham against Villa, Palace against Arsenal, Burnley against Liverpool, West Brom against West Ham. I mean, you would think Salah or Kane, basically. I'm not going to mess around with this one. I
No.
don't think there's any advantage. There could be gains, you never know. But to bet, you're betting against all of those three players we mentioned, who are all amazing captaincy shouts and got the pedigree to back it up, would be hard. So anyway, let's move on to game week 37. I'll read out. I'll read out all the fixtures for the benefit of those listening to the podcast, and then we'll have a chat about who to captain. Arsenal against Brighton, Villa against Chelsea, Fulham against Newcastle, Leeds against West Brom, Leicester against Tottenham, Liverpool against Palace at home, Man City at home to Everton, Sheffield United against Burnley, West Ham, Southampton and Wolves against Manchester United. Who are you captaining and why?
Well, luckily for this one, and this is where Sky is great, is we get to see the lineup of every single team, don't we? And without seeing that, it's hard to say, because there could be all sorts of surprises. Could be teams that give kids a run out. Could be teams that are just absolutely going. I mean, if you look at Man City's team and they're, you know, incredibly full strength, for example, and maybe Everton are just on the beach and they've put out a second string, then suddenly that changes things. But right now, if you had to ask me, I think Salah at home to Palace feels pretty good, although it's probably what, Roy Hodgson's last game. I think they've just announced recently that he's going. So will Liverpool have anything to play for at that point? Possibly. So it's really tough to answer, but I think fixture wise, just Liverpool home to Palace and Leeds at home to West Brom are the two that stand out to me the most, I think. Obviously, Man City's there as well, like I say, but we don't know what we're going to get from them. I think those are probably the three I'd look at. Spurs away to Leicester, I think that's quite tough.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be looking there. Arsenal home to Brighton, again, don't really trust Arsenal and Brighton are decent, aren't they? So I don't really trust that. Mm-hmm. Villa and Chelsea, I don't think you'd go there. I think that's pretty standard. I mean, Man United away to Wolves have been pretty shocking, but you know, they've obviously got Europe after that, so I'd imagine that's going to be a second string side there, possibly from Man United, and I think
I would say Fernandes is going to be out of the equation. I'd be very surprised if he starts.
I mean, there's a few differentials. I mean, West Ham are at home to Southampton. Are Southampton going to be bothered at all for that game? I mean, Antonio could easily be. Mm-hmm. You know, we often get these games on the final game of the season where a striker or a midfielder gets a brace or a hat trick or something. I mean, that stands out as a potential Antonio haul, that one. There's options, but right now, you know, with the information I have at the present, it's probably Salah.
Yeah, I'll probably captain Salah in my A team. Or Alexander-Arnold, be one of those two. I might just go for a bit different, just in case.
Yeah. The other thing as well, of course, is to, you know, where you are in your mini league. If you're second and the guy in front is, you know, 5 or 6 points above you, and you get to see the lineups, and you're pretty confident he's going to go Salah, because I'd imagine most people probably will. Then there's really not much value in going Salah at that point, as long as you don't mind dropping a little bit. You know, it all depends what you stand to lose as well, of course, but that's when you probably do have to look at maybe one of the Leeds boys or someone like that, or Antonio.
My second team, which may or may not win a PlayStation 5, which probably won't, but I'm going to go for it. I have to captain someone different. I have to get someone in a bit different.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm looking at removing Fernandes, and that's going to be the answer to one of our questions coming up. And Liverpool look the best bet. I can't get a striker in. It has to be a midfielder or defender. I don't have Alexander-Arnold, so it makes sense to do Fernandes to Alexander-Arnold.
Who's also
another good captain. And then I would either captain him or Chris Wood. And I think it's one of those... I think Alexander-Arnold will probably get it, because I think the potential for a massive haul is there. It could be goals, assists, clean sheet, the works. So I think there's a strong potential there, and that's personally what I would do. But it sort of leads on to some of our questions, really. And one of the things is looking at sort of players to get in and players to captain. So here's something I did for the Scoutcast for FPL. But although it doesn't take into account the Sky bonus, what it does take into account is the basics. Will they get involved in a goal? Will they score or will they assist? So what I've done is I've looked at the last six matches, in terms of expected goal involvement, and see who is there. Who's at the top? Kane is the absolute outright guy. He's the go-to guy for goal involvement. He's had 9 big chances over that time. And his expected goal involvement is getting on for nearly 6 goals, which is huge. Then it's Salah. So he underlined Salah's potential as a captaincy there. We sort of knew about that. Then we've got Iheanacho, bad fixtures, so I'm not sure many people will go there. Jota, injured, won't go there. Fernandes, I don't think he's going to play in game week 38. and then you move down to the real headlines. Antonio is there, 5 big chances, expected goal involvement 4. Antonio, as you said, these are the stats here that back up. Antonio is a great alternative captaincy shout. Chris Wood at Burnley has Sheffield United in game week 38. Big chances, 6 over the last 6 matches, expected to be involved in nearly 4 goals. Havertz at Chelsea. Bear in mind, these prices here are for FPL, so ignore them. Havertz at Chelsea could be a great alternative. And that's also someone I'm considering for getting in instead of Fernandes. So, I mean, looking at game week 37, yes, Chelsea are away to Villa. But as you said, I mean, it's one of those matches. And Villa are hardly, you know, hardly robust at the back at the moment. And then you've got Calvert-Lewin, a bad fixture against City at the end. And then Vardy, if you want to say goodbye to Vardy forever in your Sky career, give him a send-off against Spurs there. But I think genuinely Antonio Wood and Havertz look to be the strongest options there. But so looking at the fixtures back to game week 37, and so we've got some questions coming up. So FPL off spinner says, with one transfer left, it seems logical to replace Fernandes after Tuesday's game, that's tonight, with a Liverpool asset. That would give them 2 games. Which one do you think, other than Salah, he's saying? I think if you can, get Mane in, if you can.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm. And I can see, because I've often said save a transfer for the final week because of the shenanigans, but we can almost predict those shenanigans there where Bruno's Fernandes will go. So then you're essentially getting 2 games for one, aren't you? Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty good move. I mean, if Bruno does play... it's kind of, you could get unlucky there, but I don't see any reason why he would play him, but maybe just because Bruno demands to play, I guess. But I think it's a risk worth taking. I mean, I know Wolves are pretty bad, but generally they keep the game fairly tight, especially at home anyway, so you'd expect that to be sort of potentially low scoring anyway. So yeah, I think Mane is obviously the standout, especially when Jota's now injured. I can't see any reason why Mane wouldn't play. He's obviously got a little bit to prove. The other one, the only other one I'll throw in there is Thiago, who was clearly man of the match. Yeah. You know, he's still getting a lot of bonus. He's playing really, really well. And he does stand out as a man of the match nearly in every game because he just dominates the ball. So, I mean, as if you look at the player list and look at points for midfielders and you sort by the most points in the game, there's some very surprising names up there. Names you wouldn't expect. Yeah. That, I mean, Højbjerg, I think he's like in the top 5 point scorers overall or something, which... in seasons past, we've had these ticking over players do fairly well, end up being kind of value, but not quite if they can't add goals and assists. But this just shows you that the dearth in midfield is that a lot of these guys, I mean, Rodri's like 3rd or 4th overall, and he barely scores or assists at all. So these ticking over guys have absolutely smashed it this season. Well, not that necessarily they've smashed it, it's more that everyone else hasn't. So they are options. I think Thiago... And Mane stand out for me.
I think if you don't own Alexander-Arnold, that is a really good move as well.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the one I'm considering, as I said, in my B team to get my PlayStation 5. I would do that definitely in Sky. I mean, I think overall, if you've got more transfers left, I think I just steam into Liverpool. They've got a great couple of last games and find players that are playing on that Tuesday and then get your 2 Liverpool games. Just go mad on it. Is that a viable strategy?
By all means. I mean, again, it depends what you want. Thiago is almost the safe points. You're banking the points there. You could get a little bit more with a man of the match and attacking return, but you can be fairly sure you're going to be getting like 8 points or something, which is pretty good. With Mane, obviously you could get 0 because he's one of these people who he hasn't had a few shots at goal. He's getting 2 points, isn't he? But he equally could massively outscore Thiago if he scores a brace or a hat-trick. So, yeah, I think I'd be tempted by Mane, because at this stage, do you really want a ticking over 7-8 points every week? Again, it depends where you are in your mini-league and stuff. I'd probably go for broke with a Mane move. And the Trent Alexander-Arnold one, even ahead of him, I think. He's been proving it for weeks on weeks now. Yeah. Even if they concede, he's getting an attacking return nearly every single week.
Yeah.
He's also only got... I mean, I don't think he can make any influence now on Southgate, but... he's got 2 games now to try and do even more if he can, possibly, to get in the team, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this is if you've got transfers left. I mean, but basically, if you a viable strategy would have been to save those transfers, and I wish I'd kept at least two back for this
Yeah.
final couple of games. Not just final game, just one for the final game, but two for this period would be fantastic, to take advantage on others of those two Liverpool, games, or two, just two games for people playing on a Wednesday this week. Tom Hartnell says he's eyeing up Bruno Fernandes to Antonio as his final move. Any other
Yep.
suggestions? So we've sort of covered that, but yeah, Antonio, Havertz, and Chris Wood, I think, are great assets depending on which way you can move around. But Antonio, I think, is really good.
I think Liverpool players and Antonio are the main standouts for me. I do like Havertz, midfielder up front, obviously can do well. Fixture's not quite as good, and then also you're always a little bit worried on playtime, aren't you? Whereas the others you're not. So Antonio's just a big standout. I know West Ham haven't been great of late, but Rice is now back, and they've almost got nothing to play for now because they're pretty much out of the top four. So you can look at that as a good thing. I think now the pressure's off and they could just go mad in the last 2 weeks if they want to. They don't have to play so defensively.
Definitely. It's worth pointing out as well with Lingard. Lingard's role has changed to be much more creative. So if we think Antonio's going to do well, someone's got to assist him. Chances are it could be Lingard, and that we haven't seen that Lingard role yet. We saw it a bit towards the beginning, but then he took up the goal scoring role. So it could be that, some of the chances he created on another day against Brighton. He was almost, he was almost there to win a penalty. And I can't remember if Rice was on the pitch at that moment, so it could have been Lingard could have taken it. Because I think he hit the ball into a Brighton defender's arm. It was nothing the guy could have done apart from amputate his arm. But that's the kind of goal ludicrously that can be given,
Yeah, and he's on
or
set
protect
pieces, he's
penalty
on
rather.
corners, he's on free kicks, and the penalty thing's not. I mean, I know Rice has said he was on them when he was on the pitch, and he has taken them, but he's been away for a little while, so I don't think it's completely 100% that Rice just suddenly takes over. You never know.
Liam Dorian, who the reigning FPL, reigning Sky. Sorry, Liam. Can I say the FPL? Sorry about that.
Yeah, blasphemy.
Liam, the reigning Sky, quite rightly, Sky champion. Any players you have one eye on for next season, he asks. And what's your best and worst moment of the season, he also asks. So, yeah, go. Any players you got your eye on for next season?
Oh, there's loads. It's so funny, isn't it? Because we always think we get it worked out. We're like, right, next season, I know who's going to be good, who's going to go. And it completely goes to pot within about 5 weeks. And there's completely different players than you expect nearly every single time. But there's a few names. I mean, Rafinha for me, and everything, so much depends on price, doesn't it? But Rafinha just looks like a player who is destined for greatness to me. So if they underprice him in some way, he's in a Leeds attacking side. Then he'll be in because midfielders are hard to pick in this game, and he is a massive standout. Set piece is everything. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up taking penalties eventually in his career because I don't think Bamford and Click have been sharing them, and they're not particularly strong on them. I mean, he just kind of that kind of player who he should have an ego struts around the pitch. I reckon eventually he'll probably claim them at some point. But yeah, he's definitely one I'll be looking at, price dependent. I think the Chelsea team are going to be really interesting because obviously the new manager's here now, the effect he's had on them. We saw how many clean sheets they can get. So Reece James in particular stands out to me again. I mean, every season it feels like this could be Reece James's season. He plays the vast majority. But if he is going to nail down that right wing back role, and it's a team that can often get passes and attacking returns, he suddenly stands out to me again, price dependent, because they might price him a little bit less because there's a little bit of rotation there. But I can't really see Cho playing a right wing back particularly often. I don't think it really worked. It worked for like the first couple of weeks, and then it's not really worked since.
Also, Chilwell has taken over the left back, really. He is first choice over Alonso. So you would imagine Chilwell as well could be in
Yeah,
the break.
exactly.
He'll
One of
probably.
the wing backs, I think, is a good shout because, I mean, the top teams' full backs, as Luke Shaw's shown this season, Trent and Robertson have shown it this season on season. Man City, Cancelo, Walker, I mean, all of these guys, they are potential gold. And if you can get them in a right wing back role, so even better potentially, I think the Chelsea wing backs will definitely be worth a look. Again, there's always that little bit of risk of rotation, which
Also, the
is.
rotation that we're seeing at the moment with City, Chelsea, and Manchester United, is largely because they're involved in the cup competitions. So at the beginning of the season, there's less this need to rotate. I mean, we're seeing at the moment with Liverpool, it's fairly settled. You know, will Jota start? Well, he's out of the equation now. But other than that, you can be pretty assured that the rest of the team are going to start because they've just got the league to focus on.
Definitely. What was the second part of the question? Best and worst moments?
Yeah, best and worst moment.
Best moments probably Cancelo captain. I think it was West Brom maybe, where he scored 50 points. That was a good one because I didn't even get to see the lineup. So it was a risk because you never know who's going to play. It kind of was signposted a little bit. I think he got his first attacking return despite incredible numbers the week before, either in the Champions League or the League Cup or something. And it looked like he was set to start and obviously to get rewarded with 50-something points. Love that. So that was definitely probably the best moment. Worst moment, there's been several of them. I'd say probably for me, and I think there's another question later where I'll alliterate this, is probably just Bruno Halling versus Newcastle in about game week 5 because it's the week after the overhaul. I had Bruno Fernandes, like everyone will have, for the first 4 weeks. And Man United were pretty terrible. He didn't do anything. It looked like, you know, all the talk was, can Bruno keep up this ridiculous point scoring he's had when a lot of his points and XGI is quite low and it comes from penalties. And obviously the first 4 weeks, he didn't get many points. Man United lost a couple of games they shouldn't have lost. It looked pretty dreadful. And I thought, do you know what? I'm not going to go with Bruno Fernandes on overhaul. I'm going to take a risk. And then obviously straight away game week 5, I think they were terrible versus Newcastle. And then he missed a penalty as well. And I was like, no way. You know, this is a great decision. And then he ends up getting like passes, tackles, gets an assist, another goal in the last 5 minutes, man of the match. And everyone else has got him as captain. And it's like, that's the week after overhaul. And it's like, for God's sake. But on top of all that, again, when we go to mistakes later on, I've structured my team in such a way that basically I couldn't get to Bruno. And that was my error, was that I've written him off. And 4 weeks is not enough time for me to make that decision that I'm going to write him off. If I was going to write him off for just a few games, then I at least needed to have a backup where I could easily get him in. And then I had to restructure my team and use a load of transfers to get him back in. And that's what, I mean, I've just used my overhaul, right? I shouldn't be using transfers. And now later on down the line, that effect carries on because now I can't make those moves in the final weeks because I've used up a bunch of transfers to sort out my team. So the knock-on effect of a mistake like that was significant. Yeah. So that was the worst moment of the season for me.
I think players who are eye on, we focused on it last time round, the new players coming in. So if we're talking about price rises and price falls, and if some of those players, particularly from Norwich, can be quite kindly priced in midfielders, they could be huge, particularly Buendia. As we said, Buendia could be like a cheaper version of Fernandes or KDB because he was ticking all the boxes, everything, goals, assists, passing, everything. Everything he could do a clean sweep. I was just having a look at my last game weeks, just going to clicking through, just looking for some big hauls. And it's all the usual suspects. And I think that's one of the things that I've sort of got right and the best moments is actually those, the stats and the analysis and your research predicting and the, you know, looking at the fixtures, getting those good captains in has worked out. So, yeah, De Bruyne, 44 points. Kane, multiple 44 points from him. Diaz as well. The predictable captains came good. Salah, he's come good. And then also some of those other players on the periphery. Grealish for a little while, but also Lewis Dunk. Was actually, the period he was in my team, he was one of the most profitable players I think I've ever had in Sky.
Yeah, yeah. That's been a theme of this season, actually. I think the predictable captains and the individual days of who you think probably is the best point scorer on that team. Recently, we had the Wood one, for example.
Yeah.
They've just done really well most of the time. Yeah. So it's, you know, if you haven't been on these guys, then you kind of failed. I think the letdown in that way was Salah. There was a period in the middle of the season where Liverpool were dreadful for weeks, and I had captain for most of those, and he was a letdown. But outside of him, I think it's quite rare to have found captain blanks.
Yeah, that, definitely. So I think that's been the story of the season, really, is that, I guess, you know, people, you know, watch us, they watch the other podcasts and videos, and a lot of what we're saying sounds really obvious. And as we've just seen from those big hauls over the season, the obvious one equals points. So to get that edge over us and get edge over everyone else and people in your mini leagues, you've got to be looking at those peripheral players. And that's where going back to things like considering unfashionable players. Yeah. Lewis Dunk. Why did I dump Lewis Dunk and get Aspilicueta in?
Yeah, there's definitely fixed orientated moves. I mean, dropping Dallas is another one we'll get to. Overhauls just been a complete, you know, cluster. That should never have happened. Easy to say in hindsight, but the fixtures weren't there for Dallas. But he's been a ridiculous points scorer the whole season. But yeah, I suppose definitely looking at those, there's those moments like the Ferran Torres moment, the Cancelo captain. Yeah. Right? There'll be your moments that if you hit on them more often than not, then obviously you're going to have a fantastic season. Yeah. But I also think just remaining incredibly consistent throughout the season and patient is still just a really good differential overall, because quite often we will get tempted by the odd player. I mean, Iheanacho is a good example of this, I think. He was one that worked out, the people jumped on and it worked really well. But I did say at the time, there's several of these guys throughout the season that you'll try this and it just won't work and it'll be a waste of transfers and you'll have to go back. And that happens more often than not. If you've jumped on a few of them, it can ruin your season.
It's pinpointing. There's so many differences between Sky and FPL, but one of the key ones is you can't mess around with form, dipping in and out of form. So Lingard, for example, great form for a few weeks. Now he's a massive burden. Chris Wood, I've been really happy with the last few weeks. But as the season goes on, say this was game week 17 and we just come off the back of 5 weeks of glorious Chris Woodness. I wouldn't want him any longer because he's exactly
the power striker position where you've just seen Kane and Salah do it every week, and then there's nearly always one striker that's in the mix as well. So you can't carry him long.
I sort of went into this season with a mentality of thinking, well, I'm going to chop and change these big hitters around, and I shouldn't have done that at all. It's a waste of a transfer. Just keep Kane and Salah all season. Don't bother.
I've had them all season, both of them. I've never really de-ruined.
No. And keep Diaz, keep Dallas, keep. And it's those peripheral players, the emerging players that are coming in that are so obviously of a standard of Kane and Salah in Sky terms, in terms of getting points. As we've seen, Virgil van Dijk in previous seasons. Don't mess around with them. So just keep them in. And then use your research to get those other players in. Your Rafinhas, your Mason Mounts, your Lewis Dunks. They're the ones that are going to win you your league. And getting, but it's also timing. So clean sheet wipeout asks a question I've been asking myself this morning. He says, what's the biggest error you made this season and which had the highest impact on your overall rank? I think we've covered a lot of that, but he's is definitely skipping Dunk for the captaincy and watching the call time and time again. And I think that's right. And Steve Wright, not the DJ, asks top three players to hurt the season. I will start. He started with Lamptey, so Lamptey's hurt him. I kept for far too long. Antonio, three transfers.
Guilty. He's
in and guilty. Out. Exactly. Guilty two. Calvert-Lewin, same thing. He only ever got 2 points when he was in his team. So my answer is exactly that. I mean, another error is those mid-price midfielders. I've messed around with them as well. On reflection, I mean, I know we're urging people to get Antonio in now, but he's only two game weeks left. But I don't think I would urge people to get Antonio in again because he does have an injury record. I'm not quite sure in a
limited... I think they'll solve that for us next season because he should probably be a striker and therefore we probably won't touch him.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah.
Because,
So
I just want to add to the errors. Sorry. So, I've got a catalogue, but I've...
yeah, that's all right.
But some of the biggest ones. I mean, I mentioned the Bruno one. Massive error that was because I writ him off. And it cost me transfers to get to where everyone else is. So I was already three or four transfers behind everyone. So that was a big error. Can't make judgments off the first 4 weeks, basically. You can make some, but you can't make such ridiculous ones like that where you then can't adjust. So remain flexible, I guess.
Yeah.
Martinez. For me, I didn't have Martinez at the beginning. He did pretty well because he didn't even play game one, if I remember rightly. Did well in his first few weeks, and I think some of that was a penalty save, man of the match. I was like, yeah, he's done really well, but can he be getting penalty saves and all this stuff every week and all this stuff? You know, it's still Aston Villa, and there's other keepers that I want that have done really well. And I didn't own Martinez for virtually all of the season until the overhaul, and that is such a big difference. And it's something I've learned from experience of Sky, is getting your goalkeeper right in this game is incredibly, incredibly profitable.
It's if you look at the Nick Pope effect, isn't it? Get Nick Pope in. There you go.
Well, because they get two extra points for a clean sheet And because they can get a lot of saves bonus and man of the matches, you know, in games where they even are getting battered, they are ridiculous. I mean, you look at the points per million, and I think there's like, you know, 10 goalkeepers in the top 15 in the game or something stupid like that. They are a really, really profitable position. They can get a load of points. So not having Martinez compared to nearly all the top managers is like a points difference for about 70, 80 points or something. Ridiculous. So that's a reason why I'm not right near the top now, is because I didn't have Martinez. So that's a massive error. Now, saying it's an error as in you need to correct it next season, that's extremely hard. But the message is you've got to get your goalkeeper right. Yeah. You have to get it right. And transferring them is fine because they score loads of points. He's in and out for captain days and stuff like that. But for me, I didn't go Martinez because I had Grealish and I thought, oh, I've got an Aston Villa captain. I don't want to bother. I want to use my captain as a goalkeeper. The logic was there. It just didn't work out. Yeah. And Martinez has therefore killed me this season.
Yeah.
Dallas is the other one I mentioned as well already. Yeah. Dallas, I had him for most of the season. He's fantastic. And then I thought, I'm just going to bin you off and get Vestergaard, who was a complete... I mean, I don't know what the difference in points is between Vestergaard and Dallas over the back end of the season. But I dread to think that is one of those ones where earlier I said about Fernand Torres can get you 52 points in 1 week. I mean, that's more than 52 points between Bruno and Dallas in X amount of weeks. Yeah. Massive error not to keep him. He was the best budget defender we've possibly ever seen, really. Playing in midfield and scoring eight goals. He's got nine goals.
It's huge, like huge. Yeah, I mean, he's a really great midfielder in this game, but he's listed as a defender.
Yeah.
I can look at decisions with hindsight and think, well, I shouldn't have done that. And it's difficult to do all of those. But I think overall, for me, I know you take a lot of care with planning. I know a lot of other content creators with Sky take a lot of care over the planning. But I don't really, and I haven't particularly this season. I've been winging it a lot. And that's what's cost me. So I'm under 400, around 300 in the rankings. I could be much higher if I'd have taken care with planning. And I quite like the idea now of I'm a convert to that, to mapping out. You know, you've got to be flexible as well. You've got to say, well, I'm not, you know, in September, say, oh, I'm getting this player in November, whatever, and then that player gets injured. You've got to have an alternative plan, but not chop and change. Really do avoid those players that get injured a lot. Danny Ings was fit a bit last season, but is he this season? For the last two game weeks, maybe get him in. But already Hasenhüttl said he can't last more than 60 at the moment. So I've just got to avoid those types of players. Mason Mount will get a price hike. But I like him. He plays a lot. He's got a good spread of points. And he's just a set and forget player. The other thing is, I think with, you know, the content is really good for Sky. You know, the likes of Dan and James at Planet FPL and all these and Suj and all these guys, the content's really good. But the content is not mature in the way that the FPL content's mature. So there's so many podcasts and videos and articles for FPL. So it's gone past the stage of offering advice. You know, originally what Fantasy Football Scout did was like one of the only ones really to have articles about FPL. But now the Times has got it, the BBC's got it. So it's matured to the point where people who play FPL can develop their own ideas and go, well, I'm taking all this different content on board. I can develop my own ideas. You can't copy. How can you copy an FPL content creator? There's about 500 of them. But in Sky, well,
you could, but what's the point in that?
Yeah. You'd have to make a zillion transfers. They're all so different. But with Sky, there is a uniformity because the content creation hasn't matured in that way, hasn't exploded. So there's this tight knit of people like yourself who are giving advice, and it's really good advice. And so just listen to them and just do what they do. And you'll get quite a high ranking. But I think in the next year or two, I think Sky content will need to develop for the good of the game in a way, so that people can play it, be more experienced at it. Not, oh, it's my first season, I've got top 10 and therefore I'm amazing. But it's not like that every year. And I think they need to develop their own strategy. So you'll have lots of different teams. And that will mean you're not going to get top 1,000, 99.9% of people owning Fernandes, that kind of thing. And I mean, that's not no good for the game. Where you've literally got one manager.
Static pricing doesn't help that situation, but I'd still take that over price rises.
I, I'd definitely take the price rises, but I just think that the Sky game is growing, and I think content wise and advice wise, the maturity is going to be there in a year or two, whereby you are going to get much more different teams. Like my definitely. B team, the mentality of my B team will be my A team.
Yeah, I think if it's your first season playing Sky seriously and following content creators and stuff, you've probably done a lot better than you may have done in the past just by picking up on their advice. But there's still that top level of you know, everyone who's in and around the top 100 in nearly every single season, is trying to beat those guys, and that's pretty much where we're at, and that's extremely tough because there's a great players and you know, to get one over, sorry, there's someone beeping their horn constantly outside. I don't know why. To beat them, you basically have to hit more often. I mean, it sounds obvious. Hit more often the Ferran Torres hat trick than others, and it's hard. But to get consistently in the top sort of 1 to 200 right now, I feel like this is why we love the game: is the amount of attention and planning that you put into it. Very likely to see those rewards. So it depends what your goal is.
So lesson to learn for me: more planning, and you know, obviously listen to all the good content out there, but. I can plan a bit more around that and not hold transfers back, but that's all part of planning, really. You know, sometimes it's good to use lots of transfers.
And it's been an incredibly tough season to plan because it's been all over the place. Yeah. So hopefully next season we'll have a more structured approach.
I have planned before. When you get the fixtures, you know, and they're like, what, 2 months in advance, 3 months in advance sometimes, you can plan. But I can't plan when you don't know whether there's going to be extra fixtures shoehorned in, single game days next week, and because the fans haven't been there, you haven't had to, you know, they haven't had to give notice to police and stewards and everything, you know in weeks and weeks in advance. So I think that's part of it. You know, in my head I just thought, you know, you've won COVID, I'm not gonna argue with this season, but so next season I'm gonna do it.
Well, also, we say all this and the rules could change for Sky. Things could change, points scores could change, things could change, and suddenly it's a slightly different game because it's been known to change quite regularly, Sky, really. It's certainly in comparison to the likes of FPL. Yeah. I mean, they made like one big change in the past like 15 years, haven't they? Yeah. Adding chips, pretty much.
Ian Parrin, speaking of people who are good at planning, he dabbles in plans. Ian Parran, which players in each position do you expect to have the biggest price hikes and falls for next season? So I know you've done a bit on this, so I've done a small amount on this. So I'll run through my small amount bit first. but I've rudimentarily looked at the top strikers who are good value this season, and top midfielders, top defenders and goalkeepers. And it's fairly evident that you might have a bit more info about how their minds work at Sky Towers, but it's fairly evident Bamford 8.2, he ain't gonna be 8.2 next season, he's gonna be about, I don't know, 10. Watkins 8.6, he's not gonna be 8.6 because he's emerged as actually a good Premier League striker. Calvert-Lewin 9.3, that's not gonna happen. You know, you're expecting 1-2 million price rises. Rashford 10.5, I think he could stay the same, but he could go up. I think there's gonna be Fernandes 10.9, so Rashford 10.5, Fernandes 10.9. That's not going to work out next season. Fernandes is going to be, I don't know what the maximum is going to be, but he's going to be it. Ward-Prowse 8 million, quietly, sneakily, Ward-Prowse has become the man to have this season. Ward-Prowse he's played every minute. If I'd have got Ward-Prowse in instead of fanning around with Rafinhas and Antonios and God knows who else, Lingard's. I just got Ward-Prowse and just kept him. That's what I should have done. Gundogan 8.2, Rodri 8.3, Højbjerg 7.4. These are not going to be this price. Mount 8.6. No. defenders Diaz 9.1. No. Forget them. These are going to be hugely priced. Cancelo 8.2, Dallas 6.4. He's not going to be a mid defender. He's going to be a midfielder. He's going to be about 10 million. Forget him.
You say that, but Sky have got a talent for messing these sort of things up. So we don't know.
Martinez and Meslier, they're only 6.3, 6.1. They're going to be huge. So look out for the likes of the promoted keepers. They might be cheap value. So what do you think? Because I know you know a bit more about Sky towers, the powers that be, and how.
I mean, I don't know what they are going to do, but like you, I went through the list, and you've mentioned a lot of the names, so I don't want to duplicate that particularly. But I'm going to fly through it very. I mean, goalkeepers: Meslier, Sanchez, and Martinez are just too cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, they've scored ridiculous amounts of points. I mean, you can't really blame them on the Sanchez one. He's backup goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. You know that happens. Nothing you can do there. The Meslier one is just a grave error. I mean, he's priced cheaper than the other goalkeeper, who we all knew that Meslier was going to start the season. I know they kind of shared some game time in the Championship, but it was pretty clear Meslier was going to be the number one keeper, and he's cheaper than the other one, I think. So that was a grave error. Probably couldn't have worked out he was going to do that well, but Leeds were heavily fancied to do pretty well when they've come up. So big error for me, that is. Martinez, again, you can kind of understand why they did it, because he was Arsenal's backup, essentially, yeah. Potentially. But also, that wasn't sure, right? We thought that maybe even Martinez would replace Leno. So if that was to happen and Arsenal were actually good, he could have been ridiculously cheap as well. So they are going up 100%. I think David De Gea is coming down. We don't know whether he's even going to be number one goalkeeper next season. Mm. He's really expensive. He's not returned enough points, so he'll be going down. Yeah. So that's goalkeepers done. There's plenty of others, but I've just picked out a few. Defenders, I mean, Diaz is going to be... he's going to be the new Van Dijk, isn't he? He's going to be the most expensive for good reason.
Yeah, Van Dijk started at 10.9 this season.
Yeah, so Diaz is going to be... I mean, assuming they keep to the same structure, he's going to be 11 million, which is basically the top end.
Will Van Dijk get a price for, do you think?
I think they'll probably do it just about. But in the past, what they've done... I can remember, for example... Oh, God, what's his name? Vertonghen. Vertonghen from Spurs had like one good season where he scored 6 goals, got loads of points, clean sheet, and he remained in the top echelon of pricing for about 8 years, even despite him being absolutely woeful, until eventually he sort of disappeared. But I wouldn't... They're always hesitant, I think, to... I mean, you can't just suddenly put Van Dijk down for like 8 million because he's not played the season, can you? Because he'll break the game again. So, assuming he comes back, so it's the same player this is, of course. So I think he'll maybe get a dip, but it'll probably only be by a couple of point one or two or three or something. I wouldn't expect it will go down that much and I can understand why. You don't want to break the game, do you, in a static price game? Laporte's going to be cheaper, I would say, if Stones going up the other way, Laporte going the opposite way. Another one I've picked out, I think, that is expensive this season, and for good reason, but has basically done nothing, is Pereira from Leicester. He's 34 points, I think, he scored for the entire season. Let me find him. Something like that. Really bad.
Pereira, he's 9.2. He's got 35.
He scored 35 points. 9.2 is right near the top end because of his, what he's achieved. But we just said, if Leicester are going to be playing wing-backs, he's got attacking potential. Mm. He does get tackles a lot of the game. You know, a lot depends on, because of his injury and who they're going to play, and they've got Justin James, but... If there is a scenario where Pereira becomes nailed, then I imagine he's going to drop a lot in price this season and therefore suddenly be an attractive option, potentially. He may drop to as low as 8 million, for example, and suddenly you think, oh, right, okay, he could be a look. So I think he'll definitely get a price fall. Along with the Man United defenders, they just don't keep clean sheets and don't get a bonus that often. So I think outside Luke Shaw, they're probably like some Maguire and stuff might even dip. Midfield, Bruno Fernandes needs to be the top midfielder.
Yeah.
You know, he's. I know Kevin De Bruyne was excellent last season, but... He's too injury prone. His role has now changed to the point where he doesn't get bonus as often as Bruno. You know, he certainly doesn't get penalties as often as Bruno. And
so could they swap prices? So De Bruyne 11.5 at the moment, Fernandes 10.9. Could they just simply swap?
Probably something like that. I mean, Bruno has to be the top midfielder without question. And you could argue they need to break the structure there a little bit and make him the same price as the top strikers because. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to result in 99.9% ownership. They need to make him ridiculously expensive, if not the most expensive player. Yeah. I mean, is he the highest point scorer this season? I haven't even checked. Probably is. It's him or Kane, I'd imagine. And therefore, he needs to be priced accordingly. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to do that. And it's ridiculous.
Kane is the top with 275 points.
Right, okay.
11.7. Bruno Fernandes, 261, just behind. But 10.9. So, same kind of...
Exactly.
So much cheaper.
The price structure is off, so he's a million cheaper and he's about 6 points and he still could end up the highest scorer at the end.
The next best midfielder is Ward-Prowse, 185 points, 8 million.
Yeah, which is crazy, really. But that just shows you the girth, the dearth and the difference between the midfielders there. And Gundogan, another one, you've already mentioned him, no way he's staying that price if he's continued his role that he's playing at the moment.
Yeah.
Definitely Rafinha is one I mentioned. He's really cheap. No chance he stays that cheap. Pogba. There's loads of midfielders here that are overpriced. Absolutely loads. There's too many to list. Pogba, barely played. Bernardo Silva's right near the top. Barely plays anymore. And even if he does, doesn't return that much. Ziyech, you know, for Chelsea's not done it. Pepe's like one of the top 10 priced midfielders in the game. Yeah. Surely he's going to get a massive
9 million for Pepe. What the hell?
And I didn't even play. Dele Alli, who could be interesting next season because he's extremely expensive. He really is. And where is he? So he's like in the top 10. Yeah, he's 9 million. He's got 28 points. So he's surely going to get a dip. Yeah. But then if the new manager comes in and he's playing in an AMC role and, you know, Bale leaves or whatnot, suddenly he might be interesting again. So one to keep an eye on potentially. Forwards again, you mentioned, I literally wrote down my forwards and you just reeled them off. Bamford, Watkins, Calvert-Lewin, even Wood. Iñacho's another one. There's no way Iñacho's staying at that price now. He looks like he may take over from Vardy pretty much as the main guy. Yeah. And he's like, what, 8 million at the moment? So you're looking at a top four, potentially top five.
Vardy's 10.8 and I think they're going to make him something really high still.
Probably, yeah, exactly for the same reason, because of his history, he will still be highly priced. He'll probably still be more than Iñacho because he's on penalties. But then Iñacho will get a bump, but maybe not too significant bump. And then suddenly he's an option as well. There's loads of forwards again. Mane, too expensive this season. There needs to be a bigger difference between Mane and Salah to make us even be tempted by Mane, because he's 0.4 different than Salah. And I know he can achieve similar to Salah, but when Salah's got the penalties, and this is like the penalty league, pretty much, it's not as big enough difference.
Well, I just remember my terrible mistake this season, of the many I forgot. Was that week I got Mane in instead of Kane, when Kane was injured. And I somehow conspired to dodge points from Mane and Kane, and use two transfers.
I remember that. Take him out. He's got 160 points. Salah's on nearly 240. So close, it was 80 point difference there. Close to 100 points difference. It's 0.4 in their price. There needs to be a massive difference in their price there.
Aubameyang, 127.
Yeah, Aubameyang. I mean, again, you can't blame him too much for that, I guess, because who would have thought they'd be this bad? Could be ridiculous, but he's a striker and he's pretty much a midfielder these days. So that's another thing I'd correct, to be honest, because the midfielders, I don't really like it, the fact that there's so many strikers that we can only have three striker slots. And you've got Sterling, Aubameyang, you know, Werner, people like this that you could, if they were at the right price in midfield, you would consider them and you'd have them in your teams. But I mean, even someone like Son, right? He scored 205 points. He's a great player this time, but he's 10.1 million. There is a difference between him and Kane. But you're just not really going to be ever inclined to use a striker slot up, and you don't really want to go Kane and Son as two strikers and not have that. So he doesn't play up front. He needs to be a midfielder, and that's the same for Sterling and all these other people, because it just writes too many people off.
Yeah.
Because of the price squeezing and the way it works. There's, you know, Sterling is just ridiculous. Who's going to buy Sterling as a striker? Apart from you, apparently. At 11 million.
Yeah, I mean,
it's mental. If he was like a 10 million midfielder.
Yeah.
Then you would consider it.
11 million is absolutely insane. And I certainly wouldn't have bought him at the beginning of the season.
No.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they're going to change that next season, but I really think they should, because they changed it before, if you remember. It wasn't always like this. Now, I appreciate that makes the striker list a lot smaller. You might only end up with, I mean, nearly everyone plays one up front, right? So you'll end up with about a striker pool of about 25 to 30 players. But that's the way the football is now. Like, unless you're going to introduce another position, I feel like they need to drop back into midfield, because the fact that Ward-Prowse is the second highest scoring midfielder, despite pretty much doing nothing outside of a few good free kicks throughout the season, is just a shambles, really. And
there isn't enough, because they've given, you can have up to five midfielders, but just three strikers just doesn't make any sense.
No. And when nearly everyone like me has gone Kane and Salah pretty much the whole season, that's two taken out already. So I've got to pick one if I go with three up front from that entire list of strikers, when most of them are midfielders. I mean, and if they carry on with this vein, there's lots of people on this midfield list that are going to revert to forwards. I mean, if you go down, look through the midfield list, a lot of these guys who now play as like a right or left sided. So you could argue, for example, Mahrez, is he a striker then? Because he's not any different to Son or anyone else, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, you got Pulisic. Is he any different? Maybe not. Pepe, there's plenty of them like that. I mean, they justified it on the amount of goals they scored, right? Havertz, is he going to be a striker? Probably. So midfielders list is going to get less again, and that's why the likes of the Rafinha and people like that.
Yeah, I mean, they have to stop that.
Yeah, they have to sort this out.
That's going
to
escalate year after year, and with with players, lasting longer. likes of Vardy, actual strikers. The pool of strikers just grows and grows. It's not organic. It doesn't evolve. It doesn't. These people aren't retiring. They aren't moving down a level. They're just staying put, and they're still good options.
Salah should be a midfielder for me. I think he should be just because it makes the game. I mean, we'll all start the season and you'll have Kane will be the most expensive striker, obviously by a mile, and a lot of people will have him no matter what the price is probably. This is assuming he's still at Spurs. Of course, that could change. And then you've got a whole host of other strikers that you consider. There's a little bit more skill involved, I think, when you look at all the other, who you're going to pick as your budget striker.
Son shouldn't be a striker currently because he's... The favoured system there. I mean, maybe that will change next season, though. So maybe he should.
I hope so. If Kane goes, it just writes off so many players, and they want to promote variety. Mm. And I know it's very hard to do with static prices because it can look, in hindsight, incredibly wrong when you look back at it. But for me, to increase variety, you need to put the wide players as midfielders.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, we all pick two or three midfielders, and it's obvious who the best two or three will be because there'll be Bruno Fernandes. I mean, already now I could say Bruno Fernandes, Rafinha, and potentially someone like Gundogan or someone like that, Mason Mount. There's like a few names, maybe five or six names you can think of for midfield already. And that really shouldn't be the case. I want to have it where I've got no idea who to get. Do I get Salah? Do I get Sterling? Do I get whoever? I want Son. I want so many different midfielders because I'm never going to get those guys, some of them, but I'm not going to get Son and those lot of strikers. I'm just not going to do it because I've got Kane. I've got Salah taking up two of my spots. And they're going to, and that, again, unless they're 13, 14 million, they're going to be in everyone's team. Already everyone knows for next season, they're going to have Salah, Kane, Bruno Fernandes pretty much in their team as locks. And they're going to fit the pieces around, and Diaz, and probably fit the pieces around it. That's what everyone's going to do already. And I don't like that.
We get the Sky prices a bit earlier than other formats. I know that the Euros are going on, but I think we could see them, early summer. And so we'll find out then. And of course, they remain static as well. I think, do they change them sometimes? If they release them and then if people go, whoa, do they change them? Or
They did do that one year, where they released them and they released it with an early build of prices by accident and changed it. But it's generally not what they do. Usually what they do is they create the prices and then after some community feedback for a few people, they sometimes change some of them. But things are all different now because I mentioned it to you before we started the pod, but the person that runs Sky pretty much changes year on year.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a project for them, if you know what I mean? Like a new person will come in as the lead and they'll have their own ideas and you kind of feedback and talk and they're like, we've got these plans and we agree we want to do this moving forward. And then it moves to the next guy and then it's like, well, none of that really happens. And then again, the same process happens. So it's just, we have to get lucky that we get someone who comes in and just wants to make those changes straight off the bat and do it. And they don't have a lot of time to work with ultimately, because like you say, the game already has to be kind of prepared almost now and the prices are already being thought about. And then there's transfers. And in a static price game, it's incredibly hard to get it right. And obviously in that case, you generally want to err on the side of caution and price people a little bit high just because you don't want to break the game, but then at the same time, you want the game to be fun and engaging. You don't want all the casual players to look into their Sky team, pick their team, and have to pick like five Norwich players or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Because they can't literally afford the team they want. So it's a very, very tricky balance. I don't envy them, but the more accurate they get the prices right off at the beginning of the game, then fair enough. You can't blame them if we run for a whole season and Aubameyang's not done what he was supposed to do. I can't blame that one stuff like that too much. But there are some glaring errors here right from the back, right from the beginning. A lot of that revolves around the players' positions, but also Diaz was, everyone picked up on Diaz. I mean, Liam was the winner there, me and him straight at the beginning of the season. Look, if Diaz is going to be this nail guy for City, then he's going to return Van Dijk. He's going to be 12 million defender and we're going to all need him. And that's clearly obvious to quite a lot of us. And hopefully Sky can learn from that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I actually like the static prices, but that is, I can see the negative side of that because it doesn't evolve as the game progresses across the season, as these players emerge, and you might get some that are just prohibitively too expensive or just too cheap. And it's been actually, in a way, too cheap because I mean, I've frequently this season had 6 million, 5 million in the bank.
Well, that's been the story of this season. It's been too cheap. Rafinha's 6.8 million, ridiculous. Bruno Fernandes is too cheap. You know, even the in the past, the top forwards were 13 million.
Yeah.
They're 12 now, so they're cheaper. Yeah. Then you've made the error of Diaz and the likes of the top defenders this season, which previously, again, were right up there. Like Diaz is 9.1 million. Dallas is 6.4 million and scored 20 points less than Diaz in the top three scoring defenders in the whole game. Absolutely mad. So as a result, that forces everyone to have very, very similar teams because they're just clearly the standout picks at their price.
Indeed. I think we'll have to call it a haul. This has been our longest, I think it's been our longest one for ages, but a lot to talk about as we prepare. So we're not going to, I don't think we're going to sort of come back with a lessons learned kind of thing, because we've sort of covered that off already. So good luck everyone with your final game week decisions. But obviously we'll be back next season ahead of that to have a look at those player prices and also, you know, have a look to see if there's any changes. I know the tiers can change sometimes, the points allocation there, so that might be interesting. But thanks everyone for your questions. Before we go, obviously a quick reminder about Fantasy Football Scout members area, full of useful stats and information for Sky managers and FPL managers as well. This will give them a mention, although I've done it accidentally before. So do check out the website for details. But in the meantime, Luke, good luck with your final flourish this season.
You too, mate, and good luck on the monthly. And yeah, it's been a pleasure, everyone. And hopefully we'll be doing them again next season. And yeah, I know we've been a bit down on it, but I think overall we've both come in the top 500. I think that's a pretty good achievement.
Yeah.
And hopefully again next season we can continue to offer some decent advice and do even better.
Definitely,
so yeah,
will. That's if I'm not on my PlayStation 5. Yeah. But in the meantime, goodbye all.
Goodbye.